Welcome to Panther Potpourri, the podcast where we're supposed to talk Panthers hockey, but sometimes we don't. Presented by Florida Hockey Now. Here are your hosts, Jacob Langsam, Alex Lopez, and TJ Peterson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Panther Potpourri, a Florida Hockey Now podcast. I am your host, Jacob Langsam. Here with me, as always, are my co-hosts, Alex Lopez and TJ Peterson. And folks, some great news out of Game 82 for the Florida Panthers. The Panthers have won the Atlantic Division. They finished the season on a four-game win streak. They finished the season winning five of their final six. They finished the season on a six-game point streak. And they finished the season preparing to play the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, it was a chaotic 9 to 9:30 time frame yesterday.
The Bruins finished their season on a two-game losing streak, which is all that really matters for the Panthers' ability to have stormed back
from when
to the division lead.
From when, by the way, Alex?
I got it now.
Okay, let's go.
All right. So I have a confession to make.
The Ottawa Senators are actually your second favorite team?
No, they are easily my least favorite team because of that fan base. Like, I hate them more than Tampa.
Oh, give it about 3 days.
Yeah, give it about 3 days.
But without the Senators, the Panthers wouldn't have won the Atlantic this year.
Yeah, but entertainment purposes only, I had a small $10 bet on the Panthers to win the division when the year started at like 8-1. It was looking great all year. And then the Panthers lost in overtime to Boston just about a week and a half ago. And I said to myself,
what a wonderful world.
They're probably like the Panthers are going to have to basically win their last four games. Boston's going to have to lose all of their last four games. They can except one. The odds of that happening are slim and none. And I was a little inebriated at that point because I was like, let's get this $5 back I can get by early cashing out early and throw it on something, even though $5 is not much money and it wasn't life-changing anyway. So I cashed it out and then proceeded to lose a parlay. Panthers won the division and I basically cashed in an $80 ticket for $5. Good job, Alex.
Once the Bruins beat the Penguins on Saturday, I tweeted something along the lines of, well, the Bruins are going to have to lose their next two games to the Senators and the Capitals, and that's not going to happen. And guess what?
Surprise, happened? It did.
It did happen.
Much to everyone's surprise. It was a genuine shock. Those are both games that Boston, by all accounts, should have won.
I do want to talk about what we think about one part of this in a minute. It's a genuine surprise. We had already kind of been acting like Toronto was the opponent. We kind of knew what the situation was. And we had been kind of operating in that way for like the last 3 months, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, like Alex said, once Boston beat the Panthers on Friday, April 6th, like we all thought that was it.
I think.
Saturday, Friday. I meant Saturday. Whatever. It doesn't matter. We all basically thought, all right, like Boston took the win in that last head-to-head matchup. Wrap it up. We're finishing second. Prepare for Toronto. We didn't expect Boston to go on and lose three of their last four, while the Panthers won all four of their final games. Like, who would have thought?
We took it so far. We were lining up guests from Toronto to join us tonight to prepare to do a preview podcast with an opposing viewpoint.
Yeah. I can't believe we had to cancel on Jay Beebs.
But yeah, I was super excited for a playoff series against the Leafs. I mean, you've heard me say it that the Panthers are in the Leafs' head. I think we saw it last night once the Panthers started coming back. Like, they're just a team that the Panthers have a mental advantage on, besides the fact that they have a skill advantage, a physical advantage. Yeah,
I was going to say, you know what other advantages they have over the Leafs?
Yeah.
Everything.
But, But a mental advantage matters.
Yes.
Like, you've seen it when the Panthers play the Leafs this year. The Leafs treat it like it is the end-all, be-all, and they play worse hockey because of it. Even in the game, they stormed out to a 5-1 lead. They were shitting themselves as the Panthers roared and tried to come back to in that game. Like, that's a team the Panthers have a decided Panthers mental roared. Edge over. Yes.
Nice.
That was not even intentional.
Yeah, I mean, that is something that I do worry about, though, the flip side of that, of a Florida versus Tampa round one series. Is Tampa still in the heads of the Panthers from the previous two playoff series that they have matched up against each other for? I want to say no, and I want to say no for one specific reason.
Is it the same reason that I have? Can we say it at the
that
exact same
one
time?
Specific reason is Matthew Tkachuk.
We did it. We had the exact same thing. I knew it, and I agree with you, but at the same time, I slightly disagree with you because, you know, Barkov's still here. Like, a lot of the main pieces are here, still here. The one thing that's changed is Matthew Tkachuk and Paul Maurice.
Both driving forces of this team's success over the last two seasons.
I completely agree. I definitely think there is some sort of like, I think we're fooling ourselves if you don't think that there's people in the on the ice for the Panthers and in the organization that are kind of thinking to themselves, Vasi, really? We got to deal with Vasi, who could easily steal a series. I'm sure the preference was Toronto. Do I think they're scared of Tampa? No, but I do think it is kind of lingering in the back of their head, like, hey, this is the demon that, you know, we need to slay, and whatever, it's here, we got to do it. But damn, it would have been nice for Toronto.
I mean, the Panthers beat Tampa 9-2, like, kind of recently.
Yeah,
they chased Vasilevsky.
Yeah, they did.
I get what you're saying, and it's the same reason that I had even a little bit of pause at the beginning there, but like, Matthew Tkachuk will this team to victory in round one. Like, I'm so not worried. Maybe I end up eating those words. It's possible. Vasi goes beast mode as like a 960. I don't know. But we are about to see the first playoff series ever of Matthew Tkachuk as a Panther versus the Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, also the first series ever of Matthew Tkachuk versus the Lightning, but like,
he certainly didn't play them against
the Flames. Yeah, there wasn't a narrative about that when he was on the Flames.
Yeah.
But yeah, Matthew Tkachuk versus the Tampa Bay Lightning in a playoff series, round one, Florida versus Tampa. Like, I have full faith that any mental demons that the rest of the team has, that Matthew Tkachuk is the one who's going to be able to like smack it out of them.
Well, yeah. Here are the guys that are still on the team from the team that lost to Tampa. It's not a whole lot of guys. It's Barkov. Reinhardt didn't do it twice. I guess that he did Fair. Lose once, though. Let's say the guys that have lost to the Lightning twice, so that they have legit demons. It's Barkov. It's Ekblad. It's Bobrovsky. It's Montour. Forsling, I suppose, and Lundell.
If it's Montour, then it's twice, also no. Bennett.
Yeah, yeah, Bennett. Montour, Bennett, Forsling, Bob.
Verhaeghe.
Verhaeghe, yeah.
Lusterainen.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right.
That list is starting to grow, TJ.
Lomberg.
It's like, in terms of the top six, top four, it's like half of them.
That's not an insignificant amount.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
Ekblad
not
didn't even. Ekblad didn't even lose to them twice. Because he didn't play.
That's right. He was out. He was out in that first
he
year.
He was out in 2021.
Remember when he had the ankle? Yeah, he had the ankle.
Yes, he was
injury.
Out.
I don't remember that.
He got injured in Dallas.
Yeah, he had that ankle injury against the Stars.
I don't put much stock personally into like the mental, somebody like having demons to slay, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think it's all that relevant here. Personally, there's been enough distance.
It's relevant
opinion.
For the fan base, the demons.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely
it.
A bigger thing for the fans than it is for the players.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about Boston. Do we think that they docked the Lightning.
No. I refuse to believe. Like, TJ, we've talked about this. I'm pretty sure that it's been a point of conversation in at least one of the last two or three episodes. Professional athletes don't try to lose. They simply do not.
I agree. I also just think Boston's not that good.
They're not.
Right.
Like, if we were in a 3-2-1 point system, I think they finished fourth in the Atlantic.
I don't know if it goes that far because they still have more wins than Toronto and Tampa. It really depends how many of the wins are overtime wins.
Yeah, I mean, just their analytics are not great. They're a team that relies upon their goaltending. It has been great, but frankly, they don't have a Shesterkin, a Sorokin, a Hellebuck, even a Vasilevsky, Bobrovsky. They don't have one of those guys. They have two A-minus goalies, in my opinion.
Tampa does have one more regulation win than Boston, but Boston still has more regulation wins than Toronto.
All right.
The Panthers have five more than Tampa.
for the record. Like, I think Boston's the weakest of Tampa, Toronto, Boston. I think Boston is the weakest.
I wouldn't disagree. I think the only thing that's going to stop Toronto from winning that series is the demons they have against Boston. And that one is
actually, I feel like Toronto might be the worst of the three.
Toronto has the worst goaltending by far.
And the worst defense.
And the worst defense.
Tampa has the worst defense.
Yeah, Tampa. Let's...
I'll talk about it because, you know, we're going to be talking about the Lightning extensively. Tampa has the worst defense.
Math.
We talked about how we were going to focus on how we were going to segment this podcast, and we are so off script, not even 10 minutes in. It's wonderful.
I wouldn't say we're off script.
We're also more than 10 minutes in.
The first
Tampa
10 minutes...
has the eighth best Corsi against per 60 in the league this year.
Okay. They're still a bottom five team in terms of goals against at 5-on-5. Maybe bottom six, but either way, like, it's bad.
Interesting. Toronto does have a better XGA per 60 than Tampa, but Tampa does beat them in Corsi against per 60.
I'm going to talk about the Tampa defense in due time, but just they're worse, in my opinion.
It looks like if you're just extrapolating from a very good Corsi against per 60 and a very mid expected goals against per 60, that means that teams are just getting to the slot against them.
Yeah, I buy it.
Like,
I
mean, that's it's not a ton of shot attempts against, but it's high quality shot attempts against.
Yeah, doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Tampa, why not just do that? You know, if you're Tampa, why not just let Vasi do it?
Yeah. I am of the opinion that, and I'm saying this in the same breath that, like, I don't think that anybody should be afraid of any of these teams because, like, it's the NHL. They can all win, and it won't be surprising. The Panthers beating the Bruins last year was far more surprising than anything that happens in this year's playoffs would be. Even the Capitals beating the Rangers would be less surprising.
Disagree.
No, I agree with TJ here. You the Panthers snuck into a playoff spot.
It wasn't the Capitals just
are you
going to
say that this year's Rangers team is a better team than last year's Bruins team, though?
No, they're not, but they're also the Capitals are nowhere near as good as the Panthers were last year. Last year's Panthers team was genuinely very good and just had awful shooting results.
Yeah, true.
This, like, there is nothing saying the Capitals are a decent team. Nothing. Their plus minus is bad in terms of goals. Like, their analytics are awful. Their roster is mediocre. Like, this is a bad team that somehow found its way into the playoffs. The Panthers
same with the Islanders, for the record. The Islanders, I guess, I mean, it has to be the Caps, too.
Congratulations to the Caps and the Islanders.
Losing records. Both of them losing records.
The Metro is a two-team division, and then and that's the only reason the Rangers won the President's Trophy over the Panthers or Bruins is because it was a two-team division, and they just feasted on that division to get those extra points. Not that we care about the President's Trophy. I'm more just saying, like, you know, the I think it's an I don't think it's a homer statement to make that the Panthers are the favorite to come out of the East and that they are the best team in the East.
I personally don't agree, but I also don't think it's a homer statement.
Who would you say is a better team than the Panthers?
Carolina.
Yeah.
That is the one team that I think you could make an argument for.
I think
you and can I still argument. Disagree.
I disagree because I think Bob is the X factor there.
Yeah, I think that your opinion is perfectly defensible. I don't share it. I don't think the gap is very big. But especially with Gensel, I do feel like this Hurricanes team
that's a fair point
has an edge that, you know, could very well disappear if they give up a lucky goal, you know, if they give up an unlucky for them goal against in one of the games, that could easily make the difference. But
also just jumping back to Tampa for a sec.
Yeah.
Sorted by 5-on-5 goals against per 60, the only teams with a worse performance than Tampa this season: Detroit, Columbus, Ottawa, Chicago, San Jose.
And we've got a breakdown of their goals against per 60 that I think that people will be able to take some information from. So
do we want to start getting into the matchup, or do we want to spend 5 minutes talking about the chaos that was 9 to 9:30 yesterday?
I want to talk about that at the end because we want to get to all the Panthers related stuff first. Does that sound good to you guys?
This is Panthers related. This is like the extremely Panthers related.
9 to 9:30 was. Well, I mean, it also
I'm talking about like what happened with the Washington, like Washington scoring on an empty net to, you know, 3 minutes in real time.
Oh, that's
after.
What you mean.
Yeah.
We can do at the end. I more meant like the thrill of watching the Panthers third period, knowing that Boston had already lost to Ottawa.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It honestly
a lot of fun.
That reminds me of what I wanted to say, but go ahead.
It kind of, not in like a sense of a champion, but it did kind of feel like an inevitable coronation of, yeah, the Panthers are winning the division, because like Toronto was producing nothing. Like you had a 2-goal lead, you only had to get to overtime. Like it was just like, all right, this is just going to be a fun 20-minute watch while we're, you know, live figuring out spaces and all this nonsense. But like, it was just like, oh, hey, you know, I feel really dumb for cashing out that $80 ticket for a $5 payout, because like Panthers are division champs. Like I'm thinking like, huh, are they going to put another banner up, or are they finally going to make, you know, one divisional championship banner and just start putting the years on it? Like, I'm like, but when you're having those kind of thoughts in your head, like it's just fun.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what last night was, is fun. A team whose head you're in, like you're beating them down, they can't come back, and they're just shamelessly trying to get Matthews his 70th goal, and you deny it. Meanwhile, Sam Reinhart gets to 57 goals on the year. Like it was just so much fun.
I think the Leafs might have been trying to duck the Panthers once it became an option for them. Like, look, they went up 2-0, and after that they disconnected their controller.
No way. Panthers, and the reason I'm going to say no way to that, TJ, is you think they're going to duck the Panthers to go up against Boston?
Yeah, I do.
You
I
shouldn't.
Absolutely do.
You should.
Why?
If we're talking about the mental aspect of this, Boston is Toronto's single largest hurdle. And they have been for years.
Yeah, there are Tampa, but like times 10.
But we didn't try to duck Tampa.
No, we didn't. But I'm just saying, like, you
don't. I don't think anyone's trying to duck anyone.
Like, I agree
all
with
of those
Jacob.
Players are trying to win. I do not believe that that is not the case.
I mean,
you
I
do
think
not become a pro athlete without that drive. You just don't.
All right.
I do think the third period got to a point where it was just like, hey, the only thing we're trying to do is get Matthews his 70th.
Yes.
And that's exactly what they did today.
And it failed,
which is hilarious. I mean, finishing with 69 goals is
pretty
nice.
It's better, yeah. It's better.
It's pretty nice. But like the fact that for four periods, your only goal was to get Austin Matthews a goal and you couldn't do it. Is hilarious, and it's even more funny when you consider how much money Leafs fans spent to fly down and go to both of these games.
Yeah, true.
That's just self-inflicted. I don't really feel that bad for him.
I
don't think
he
cared, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he does either. 69.
The fact is, he's making $13 million.
This isn't 99 versus 100. This is 69 versus 78. Like I said, 69 is a better number.
Yeah. But, I mean, the one thing there, though, is that, and maybe this is nitpicky, but he would have been the first player to score 70 since Timo Solani 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe I mean, he was the first player to hit 69.
I'm pretty sure he was.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, I mean, there have only been a small handful of 60 goal scorers in that 30-year span.
Yeah.
Other benchmark that was hit today, Nikita Kucherov becomes the worst player ever to have 100 assists in a season.
That list is just really
that's
fucking
such,
short.
That's a really funny way to frame
actually,
that.
Actually, that might not be true. Did Bernie Nichols have 100 assists in a season?
No, the list is Wayne Gretzky, Bobby Orr, Nikita Kucherov, and then there might be one more person.
McDavid. Season.
Yeah, McDavid, Nikita Kucherov, and Wayne Gretzky and Bobby Orr. So yeah, Nikita Kucherov is the worst player ever to have 100 assists in a season.
Okay,
yeah, that actually is fair. It's a very funny way to frame it, but that is fair.
Bernie Nichols had 150 points, but he only had 80 assists. 70 goals.
Also, shout out to Zach Hyman.
Take that, Matthews.
Shout out to Zach Hyman. Because without Zach Hyman, Connor McDavid never would have hit 100 assists in a season.
Those shins of Zach Hyman did a lot of lifting.
McDavid is just a high.
Connor McDavid is a product of Zach Hyman.
Incredible stuff. Anyway, so you guys want to dive into Tampa?
Let's do it.
So I was hinting at
gross.
It earlier,
why would I want to do that? I live in Fort Lauderdale.
Don't dive into the Tampa Bay, everybody.
I mean, going over for game 3 or 4 and having dinner at Burns doesn't sound too bad.
It's not that bad of an idea. So
I
don't know which one of these six guys is coming out for Victor Hedman, because I do believe he is healthy. But this is the sixth defenseman that the Lightning skated tonight, I'm pretty sure. We've got Emil Lilleberg and Darren Radish on their top pairing. Second pairing was Nick Perbix and Eric Chernak. You know, two pretty good defensemen. And the third pairing was Calvin DeHaan and Matt Dumba. So you put in Victor Hedman for one of those guys, and that's iffy, boys. I'm sorry, that's iffy.
Yeah, no, they're like, this is not the Tampa Bay Lightning of even two years ago. Like, this is a team that has gotten a lot older. They are not as healthy, and the flat cap has absolutely crippled them. However, Braden Point is still there. Nikita Kucherov is still there. And we're going to get back to talking about the defense in a second. I'm just getting it out there that there are still people who can win that series for Tampa on that roster.
The most important one being Andrei Vasilevskiy.
Yes.
No matter how bad the defense is, if Vasilevskiy decides to show up, it's anyone's series.
Correct. But to Jake, to TJ's point on the defense of Tampa, yeah, McDonough is gone. Sergachev, even though he's not nearly as good as his reputation, he's not going to be there this series. Victor Hedman is nowhere near
washed.
As good as he. Yeah, I hate
he
to use the term
not been,
washed,
yeah.
But he is.
I
not,
don't. It's funny.
He's not the player he was, and he is coming off of injury. This is a team that the Panthers should be able to penetrate when it comes to generating scoring chances at 5-on-5.
Yeah, I mean, the 5-on-5 defense has been one of Tampa's weakest points. I think it is fair to talk about the Lightning in two segments, because Andrei Vasilevskiy was a very important player for them this season. Primary reason for that is that their backups were guys that I just don't remember the names of. We've been following the league for like 15 years, each of us
Yeah, a very long time.
And we've been doing this podcast, at least me and Jake. This is our eighth season.
This is season eight.
We follow the league pretty closely, and I cannot remember for the life of me the names of these guys that played backup goalie this season. But
Jonas Johansson.
Jonas Johansson was one of them, right. First 20 games of the year, the Lightning didn't have Vasilevskiy. And in that time, they gave
they
up.
Were so bad. They were so bad. They were like not going to make the playoffs for a very significant chunk of the season.
Well, I mean, it's not only that they didn't have Vasilevskiy at that time, but the backups were like worse than most teams' backups, even.
Yeah, because Jonas Johansson fucking sucks.
Yeah. Tampa Bay played 20 games before Vasi made his first start, and they gave up 3.27 goals against per 60 at 5-on-5. That was
so
bottom
bad.
Five in the league. Yeah, it's very bad. 3.56 goals against 60 overall. That wasn't in the bottom five, but like still, that's bad. Since he came back, their goals against 5-on-5 goals against per 60 went down to 2.87. But that's still bottom 10. That was sixth worst in the league in the 60 games since he came back. So that's not including the first 20 games. And 3.22 total, which is actually pretty close to league average, but it's still bottom half of the league. One thing that I also wanted to note here is that he played 52 of the remaining 62 games. He made 52 starts and Bobrovsky only made 58. And he was healthy the entire season. You know, I think he might have been sick for one game here or another, but I expected that disparity of games played to be much wider than it ended up being. In terms of the last 62 games of the year, there's no question as to which goaltender got more mileage. It was definitely Vasilevskiy.
Yeah, but he always gets a ton of mileage.
Yeah, it's Vasilevskiy, but, you know, that's something to consider here.
Are these the two highest paid goalies in the league? I think they are.
Yeah, because I don't think
Price is out of the league.
Oh, Price is out, but I also don't think Hellebuyck got $10 million, right? I think he got.
Did. He definitely didn't. No, I think he got 8.5.
Yeah,
that's unreal. That's a fucking bargain.
He's so good. He's really good.
Yeah. So this is a matchup of the two highest paid goalies in the league, I think.
Yeah. So Tampa Bay, two different teams in terms of their defense when they had Vasi versus before he was able to make any starts. I think that there's a difference between when the backup is getting a rare start in there, when they're like super well rested. You generally see backups put up decent stats when they have the ability to really rest up between all their starts. Look at Anthony Stolarz's stats this year. Outstanding stuff. We all don't think that he's one of the five best goalies in the league, but statistically he's probably had top five season in terms of goalies this year. I think he led the league in goals against average, which is not a great stat, but look,
on that note, so Winnipeg plays their 82nd game tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
If Vancouver scores if they score two goals or more, if Winnipeg mm-hmm. allows two or more goals against Vancouver, then the Panthers will at least be splitting or be sharing the Jennings Trophy. With
so
Winnipeg.
That's very much in play. That's interesting.
It's extremely in play. If I don't fully remember how the Jennings Trophy works. If two teams tie for the fewest goals allowed, I think it just gets shared between the two teams.
Yeah, there's no tiebreaker because
anything I know about the Jennings Trophy is against my will, to be completely honest with you.
The Panthers have won the Jennings Trophy in the past.
That's great. Awesome for them.
I don't think it was in the lifespan of this podcast.
No, definitely not. It was Van Beesbrook and Mark Fitzpatrick who did,
yeah, then
did it.
It definitely was not in the lifespan of this podcast. It was hardly in the lifespan of this podcast's hosts, or at least two of the three of us.
Pretty sure it was the 96-97 season. So
yeah,
you guys
so
would have been
we
alive.
We were three.
You were working on the potty training.
We were 3 years old at the time.
So.
Yeah, the Panthers have a very real shot at the Jennings Trophy, and Stolarz would be a very significant contributor as to why,
yeah,
to your point.
So that's what I'm saying about like those backup starts. They hit different when Vasilevskiy is healthy and is just getting a game off. But there were only 10 of them. So Vasilevskiy played almost every game from that point on. 10 of the 62 he didn't play, the other 52 he did.
What's also impressive about just the goals against numbers here, Winnipeg and Florida are the only teams who have allowed fewer than 200 goals this season. So Winnipeg currently at 196 with one game left, Florida at 198 with their season being done. The next closest team is LA at 206.
I didn't realize
And then
that LA was
above that is Carolina at 211. So like the Panthers are 20 have allowed 20 fewer goals than the team that has allowed the fifth fewest goals in the league, just to pick a number.
So I think it would be fair to say the Panthers defense was better than the Tampa Bay Lightning defense this past season.
Yeah.
Tampa is 23rd in goals against.
Question
267.
Question for the class while we're on the subject of defense. Are we already talking about the Panthers defense, or are we still on the Lightning?
I don't know. I was really just going to spend all this time talking about the Lightning because we kind of understand what the Panthers did. Everybody that's listening to this podcast watched every game or almost every game.
Well, we have, but at the same time...
I don't know what you're talking about. I get all my game information from Money Puck and Natural Stat Trick.
Yeah, I've never watched a hockey game in
That's
my life.
A better
Definitely
way to get the information,
it.
Though, actually, because your eyes are lying to you, frankly.
But Uvis Balinskas, I think he should play over Dmitry Kulikov. Just saying.
There's a bit of recency bias in that, I think. Because Kulikov had some rough games in the last month of the season.
Yeah, but when are the
playoffs? He was single-handedly responsible for a few of those losses.
The thing about that, though, is that the playoffs are now. They are not 2 months ago. Sorry. I mean, yeah. It's how it works for the goaltenders as well. Alex, I do agree with you. This is going to sound condescending, but I feel like it has to
you?
Be said. The conversation...
Sounding condescending? No.
Look, Jake, when you don't have a very high intellect, I'm sure whatever I say sounds condescending. I just don't know how much
Gee,
of this
TJ,
conversation
what does
worth.
Condescending mean?
I'd tell you, but it would just go over your head. I don't know how much of this conversation is actually worth having because, like, we know Maurice is going to play Kulikov instead of Balinskas. And we
Fair
don't
enough.
Really know what Balinskas would have looked like in those minutes.
Fair enough.
Like, I think that he's made the case about as good of a case that he could make without, like, scoring 30 goals and, you know, whatever.
To Kulikov's credit, he did have a decent season at a macro level. It's just that over the last month, he has been bad.
Yeah. I don't know if Maurice is going to be the kind to react like the way...
Really great penalty killer, too. Wow.
The former disgraced coach of the Panthers prior to Andrew Brunette, who, you know, shall not be named.
Voldemort?
Agreed. I hate Bob Bugner.
Voldemort was willing to yank Yandel out of the playoffs. And I don't know if Paul Maurice is going to do that if Kulikov shows him the same kind of mistakes that he was making in the games like the one in Montreal and the one in Toronto where he was just assisting guys on the other team for goals. We'll see. I don't think it's necessarily out of the realm of possibility because he did switch from Lyon to Bobrovsky and he did take out Giovanni Smith last year in the playoffs, but I'm not holding
my
breath.
Was that just last year that the Panthers had Giovanni Smith?
It was.
Yeah, it was.
That Giovanni. Feels like it was a lifetime ago.
Well, I'm not holding my breath for Kulikov coming out, though.
The NHL playoffs do feel like an entire season, and Giovanni Smith made it one playoff game before getting yanked from the lineup, never to be seen again. But awkward transitioning back to the Lightning. I want to go through the forwards on this team.
Okay.
I mean, we've got the
go
names.
For it.
We've got the names everybody knows: Nikita Kucherov,
sucks.
Brandon Point,
sucks.
Steven Stamkos,
sucks.
Anthony Cirelli.
Sucks.
Then we get to start the names start to name like Brandon Hagel,
sucks.
Solid player, but
very good player. He's not a point, but very good player.
Right. Nicholas Paul
sucks.
Fine.
Overrated, yeah. I agree.
Right. But then the next best forward on this list is Anthony Duclair.
I'm not going to say it.
And you better not.
The bit's over. I'm not going to do it. Just kidding. The bit's not over. Name the next forward.
But like,
I dare you. I dare you. Who are they? Who are these people?
I'll go through the rest of the list, but like, you know, Tanner Jeannot is nowhere
sucks.
Near. Yeah, he's
oh
not very
God,
good.
Oh my God, he's so bad.
But like Michael Essamont,
sucks.
Luke Glendening, Tyler
sucks.
Mott, Austin
sucks.
Watson.
Sucks. Like, and is also
aren't there some like literal who guys on this team?
Michael Chaffee?
Yeah, Mitchell Chaffee.
Chaffee.
Who is that? Like, sorry, I don't know who this is.
Yeah. Connor Sheary is still in the NHL.
Sucks. Like,
oh my god, yeah. But single like, digit goals this year, by the way.
But like, this is what I'm talking about with Tampa. When Anthony Duclair is legitimately your seventh best forward, as much as we like Anthony Duclair, you're not a deep team.
I'm sorry, didn't the Panthers make the Stanley Cup final with Anthony Duclair being our seventh best forward?
I wouldn't.
Barkov, I mean, that's really up to
Barkov, Tkachuk, Verhaeghe, Reinhart, Bennett.
I don't know what people were rooting for in this case, but Duclair has kind of killed it with the Lightning.
Duclair's been fantastic.
Yeah, he's got 13 points in his 16 games as a member of the Lightning. 11 of them were at 5-on-5. He's only playing 14 minutes and 37 seconds per game. So I could do the quick math for you, but I'm not going to. You get the idea that like he's been very good there.
Yeah, he's been very good. He's also exploitable defensively. So is Nikita Kucherov. Like,
I mean, who on this team is not exploitable defensively?
Brady. Yeah, it's Braden Point and Anthony Cirelli.
And Anthony Cirelli, yes.
But like,
yeah, Braden Point's great.
This former Panther Puri offseason target Anthony Cirelli.
I was literally going to mention the same thing. Offer sheet Cirelli.
Yeah, we got Carter Verhaeghe instead. So
yeah,
I think we're all right.
Yeah, we're fine.
Yeah. And honestly, Anthony Cirelli's kind of like maxed himself out. And I don't think he's worth
it. He has.
Yeah, he hit a ceiling that I did not think was there.
Yeah, that contract, I mean, it's fine.
I'm not surprised that the ceiling was there.
Yeah, I also feel this way about Eric Chernak. Like, I expected him to continue to get better, and he just leveled out.
But I still think he's a lot better than Cirelli at this point.
Interesting. I would put them in the same tier, but I guess I really haven't paid super close attention.
Cirelli and Chernak?
Yeah. I mean, Chernak doesn't put up points.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Either way, the overall point is this is not a deep team. Like, this is a team.
Go ahead. Yeah.
This is a team, especially at home. When you can line match against the third and fourth line of the Lightning, you can create some severe mismatches. Like, if you can put, you know, the Stenlund fourth line up against like the second line of the Lightning and keep it even, you can dominate that bottom six for the Lightning.
As long as Vasi isn't just going total beast mode.
Oh, I'm just talking about generating quality at 5-on-5. I'm not talking about like winning the series. I'm saying like, you are controlling play, controlling scoring chances, et cetera, because your fourth line is, honestly, I would put the Panthers fourth line above the Lightning third line. If we're ranking like 1 through 8.
I agree.
Because it's
Kevin Stenlund scored a shorty the other day.
Kevin Stenlund's been a solid addition for $1 million.
I love him.
Yeah.
That's a strong word.
Yes, it's a strong feeling.
Okay, I mean, I don't think that he has ever loved anything based on his facial expressions when he scores. So,
but yeah.
Certainly not on the ice. I mean, I'm sure that he loves
Evan Stenlund dearly. Fucking graduated magna cum laude from the Riley Nash School of hating things happening on the ice.
Sure, yeah, but who cares?
But for $1 million on your fourth line, that's kind of what you want.
Yeah. He is an extreme low event player.
All right. So let me cook right now when it comes to the Lightning and what kind of team they are, where they succeed, where they're vulnerable. And we've kind of already been talking about it now. 5-on-5, this is not a very good team and hasn't been all year. Just above 50% expected goals in Corsi. But forget at that, because their goal differential at 5-on-5 this year is minus 22.
Boy.
Their total team goal differential this year is plus 19. What does that tell you about this team?
Probably
they get it done bad. Special teams. They get it done special teams. This year, on the 5-on-4 power play, the Lightning were just under 10.8 goals per 60, which was the second best mark in a full season in the cap era. The only team that's been more efficient at the 5-on-4 power play.
Edmonton.
Edmonton last year.
That's Nailed it. It.
That's it. They were number one this year, and they would have been number one.
I didn't know
one.
That, by the way. That was a guess.
I mean, yeah, that power play last year was unbelievable. And this year, the Lightning have been pretty similarly great. I mean, think of all the great power plays that we've seen in this league in the cap era. Ovi, the bombing one-timers on Capitals President's Trophy.
That old-school Backstrom Ovi power play.
Yeah.
And
the Red Wings, the Penguins, when they were competing for championships, anybody, like, nobody was ahead of this Lightning team. And the main guy that's getting it done for them on the power play is Nikita Kucherov. Alex, you already kind of mentioned that he hit 100 points or 100 assists this year. Kucherov led the league in 5-on-4 points this season with 48. And not just him, Stamkos was third in 5-on-4 goals this year.
How many total power
17.
Play points did Reinhardt have? Because I know he had like nearly 30 goals.
I think he only had like 24 goals.
I thought he had 20. Last I checked, I think he had 27 power play goals.
All right, I'll go back and look that up, but I'm pretty sure Stamkos had 17. I just said it. Yeah, 17 5-on-4 goals. That was third in the league. He was sixth or seventh in the league in 5-on-4 goals per 60. Kucherov was actually behind McDavid in 5-on-4 points per 60, but still like very efficient on the power play. He's the guy that it runs through. Mm. And I mean,
Reinhardt had 27 power play goals, but 24 or 5-on-4.
Yeah. So think about the way that the Panthers play in the playoffs. They like mix it up. They play on the edge. What does that lead to? Power plays and penalty kills. Given that this Lightning team is minus 22 at 5-on-5, and they have the best power play, the second best power play in the cap era, basically. That's one thing that maybe points to, maybe this matchup isn't a foregone conclusion in the Panthers' favor, because if they give up a few too many opportunities to that power play, that could be a problem. Here
I have them at minus
wrinkle.
19 at 5-on-5, for the record, not 22.
I mean,
because I did it before this game, but yeah, I did it before this game, which I just considered it meaningless and I didn't want to include it to begin with. Here is the wrinkle though. And I told you a bunch of this stuff already. Here is something I tell you on purpose. As you are well aware, the Panthers have played the Lightning this year.
Yes, they sure have.
So we've gotten to see what the Panthers' penalty kill looks like against the Lightning power play. Would you guys like to guess what the answer to that was?
Historically, I would say it wasn't good. Just based on history of the Kucherov-Stamkos power play and the Panthers' ability to defend it, even when the Panthers have been a better team, I would guess that it probably hasn't been great.
Yeah, definitely, especially in the playoffs, because I was gonna add on, like, the formula we're concerned about and you're talking about is what they're good at is how the Lightning beat the Panthers three seasons ago. It was the power play just shitting on the Panthers. Yeah.
What is their top unit? It's got to be like Stamkos, Kucherov, Point, Hagel, and Hedman, right?
Yeah, I don't know if Hagel's there, but definitely the other four.
The first power play unit tonight was Nicholas Paul, Braden Point, Nikita Kucherov, Steven Stamkos,
Paul,
and Darren Radish substituting in for.
Hold the fucking phone! Are you telling me?
I bet
Nick Paul
is doing some sort of like
plays
net
PP1.
I bet he's doing some sort of thankless net front kind of thing.
What the fuck else does he know how to do?
Yeah.
This is the second best power play in the cap era.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
I don't think you can really dispute. Okay, but here's the wrinkle.
Consider, it's Nick Paul.
Here is the Panthers' goal differential. And by using that word, you can already kind of tell where I'm going with this. Their goal differential when killing a 5-on-4 power play against the Lightning this year was +1.
They scored more shorthanded goals against Tampa than Tampa scored power play goals on the Panthers.
It was 2-1. That was the only team in the league that the Panthers or that the Lightning had a negative goal differential at 5-on-4.
That's so funny.
Does that mean anything? I don't know. But worth noting.
That is very interesting.
It's worth noting, and it's certainly a sample size thing. Kind of, you know, kind of like Stolarz having as many points as almost the entire Senators in the four game series with the Panthers. Like, it's just kind of one of those things.
Yeah, but it's one of those things that kind of shows that Florida has learned how to defend the Tampa power play.
Oh, they've definitely gotten better at it, but we've also seen that power play just shit on the Panthers in the playoffs.
Also, yeah, just I just sorted Tampa's 5-on-4 ice time per game. Cooch, Stamkos, Point, Hedman, Paul is your top five.
And it's working for them.
The second unit is Sergachev, Cirelli, Hagel, Duclair, and Barboulet.
Mm, yeah, so much for that Sergachev. I mean, that like I can simultaneously think that Sergachev is not a $9.5 million defenseman, and that the gap between him and some guy that I don't even remember the name of is pretty big. So losing him is still a significant subtraction. By the way, the Panthers had the third best 4-on-5 penalty kill this season. They gave up 5.42 goals against per 60. That's almost half of what the Lightning scored themselves. So they were pretty good on the power play or penalty kill against everybody. But still, like, that's the thing to worry about here. And I feel like I can make a pretty compelling, like, devil's advocate case here for, like, this is why the Lightning have a very good chance of winning this series, just like working backwards from that being the conclusion. The coaches are John Cooper, who's won two Stanley Cups, versus Paul Maurice, who has the most losses of any coach in NHL history and only two Stanley Cup finals game wins. So Cooper has two rings and Paul Maurice has two Stanley Cup final game wins. The best player on the ice is going to be Nikita Kucherov. He is not a Panther. The player that it will have the most MVP votes on the ice will be Nikita Kucherov. And the second best player very well may be Andrei Vasilevskiy. So then
all of a sudden, see, the best player is going to be Sasha Barkov. The second best player is going to be Matthew Tkachuk.
Look, I'm doing the devil's advocate thing here.
So I know.
Be completely aware of that.
And I'm telling you to go fuck yourself.
And then you could say, like, oh, maybe Victor Hedman's just been sandbagging it. Maybe Steven Stamkos is going to show up in time for the playoffs. I'm a little bit more skeptical than that.
That's something
stuff.
Else that I wanted to mention very briefly. The Florida Panthers have the opportunity to end Steven Stamkos's time in Tampa
before he signs with the Panthers in the offseason. I know there's no cap space.
Yeah.
There's no cap space for it, but it was a thing that was floating around early in the season.
Yeah, because it's funny, not because it's realistic.
No, it was.
I would say it's more realistic for the Panthers to grab like Patrick Kane for $2 million.
How dumb does Patrick Kane feel for picking Detroit over the Panthers?
I don't know. Like,
probably not very, because they still gave him money and he was still really good, and they did almost make the playoffs.
And he still got the three Stanley Cup rings. He didn't necessarily need to chase a fourth.
I guess, but I mean, I think he'd much rather be on Barkov's wing rather than watching Tarasenko do it.
Maybe, but maybe he would just rather take the time off to heal his hip.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who knows?
I agree with you, though, that like most likely he wishes he was with the Panthers or some other team that actually made the playoffs. You know?
He chose poorly.
Yeah, so that's pretty much all the deep dive I've got on the Lightning. Something that I do want to dig in more on is if the acquisition of Matt Dumba has been similarly fruitful to the one of Duclair, because Duclair was just like not doing a whole lot in San Jose. But it turned out that was a situation-based thing, because once he got into a good situation, he played a lot with their best players. Let's be completely honest.
Nobody could have done well in that situation in San Jose. I mean, they were the worst.
Well, there was one guy, but they got rid of him, and it was Erik Karlsson. He had 100 points.
Yeah, playing no defense and only going for offense because it didn't matter.
Yeah, but also they didn't have other offense, as evidenced by this season where they had no offense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something I'm interested in seeing. But like a lot of this is unknowable. Like are we going to see the real Steven Stamkos? Are we going to see...
Will the real Steven Stamkos please stand up?
Yeah, please and the same up. Thing for Victor Hedman. Is Vasilevsky going to be 2023 playoffs Vasilevsky, or is it going to be 2022 playoffs Vasilevsky? Because he looked very mortal last year. They lost in the Tampa lost in the first round of the playoffs last year.
Toronto.
Right.
They were first team to lose in round one to Toronto in 20 years.
They were winless in the state of Florida in the playoffs last year. Guess where every game of the series is going to be?
In the state of Florida.
That's right. And look, that's just a fancy way of saying they were 0-3 at home. But look.
But it's a great stat.
It's just true. It's just a fact. Anyway, that's my last truth bomb. I don't think I have too much else in terms of the deep dive on the Lightning. But yeah, like there's a real case to be made that they have a shot in this series. But if the Panthers show up and do the things that they've done well all year and remove the doubt that we once had about Paul Maurice being the head coach and, you know, this team paying $10 million for Bob to be the goalie and then being lackadaisical defensively. If they kill penalties, I mean, that these are things that they've done all year. So it's just a matter of just keep continuing to do that. If Tampa is the team that they were in the regular season and the Panthers were the team that they are the team that they were in the regular season, they have the distinct advantage.
I just did a quick look for the record. Of the 217 defensemen who have played at least 500 minutes at 5-on-5 this season, Matt Dumba ranks 126th in Corsi against per 60 minutes.
So that's like average?
Yeah, a little bit worse than average. It is also worth noting that his Corsi is fucking terrible at 46%. Fun fact, the 217th ranked defenseman out of this group of 217
is Erica Branson.
It is not. Wow. He is in the bottom 10.
Shocker.
So the bottom 10 in order, the worst defenseman at one, hold on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Gudbranson is the 10th worst.
Gotcha.
At number 9, Mario Ferraro. At number 8, Nikita Zaitsev. And this is just Corsi against per 60 minutes. At number 7, Mike Matheson. At number 6, Travis Hamonic. Number 5, Jared Tinordi. Number 4, David Savard. Number 3, Mark-Edward Vlasic. Number 2, Josh Brown. The biggest surprise there is that Josh Brown played 500 minutes at 5-on-5 this season.
Yeah, that's a shocker.
Yeah.
That's a shocker.
And the worst defenseman in the league among defensemen with at least 500 minutes played 5-on-5. Anyone want to hazard a guess?
No, I feel like I would have guessed all the guys you already named.
Calvin DeHaan.
No. With 75.22 Corsi against per 60 minutes at 5-on-5. From the Vegas Golden Knights,
ooh,
Alec Martinez.
Yowza.
Yeah, hence why he's been jettisoned and they now have Noah Hanifin replacing him.
Yep.
No Tampa defenseman in that bottom set. Dumba actually might be the lowest.
Well, I mean, let's be real. This is a league that has some of the worst teams in NHL history. San Jose and
including this year's Lightning.
Yeah, right. They're one of the worst teams ever.
Yes, can confirm, by the way, that Matt Dumba is the lowest ranked Lightning defenseman on this list.
Simply because he played for the Coyotes.
Probably.
Season, I would say, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how good he's been. That's something.
Hedman is the second lowest ranked Lightning defenseman.
I don't necessarily think Dumb is going to be the difference, though. The difference is the top players. Like,
I want to see.
There's no way the Lightning win this series if Kucherov just doesn't go off in four of the games or three, at least three of the games.
Do you guys want to take a guess who the highest ranked Panthers defenseman is? Best Corsi against per 60 minutes. On the Panthers.
Mikkola.
No. Wow, you both guessed that and you're both wrong.
OEL?
It is OEL.
Interesting. He's been good.
51.57
I'll give
with a
you
56%.
Shelter from the Storm.
So, for the record, Tampa had Dumba and Hedman both like below league averages as their worst defensemen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The Panthers' top six defensemen. You know how, just allegedly, like theoretically, there are 64 top pairing defensemen in the NHL. Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
The lowest ranked Panther of the top six defensemen, the lowest ranked Panther is Brandon Montour at 36.
Yeah, so that's a team that is propping up their defenders and is making them all look good very effectively. And like,
Brandon OEL Montour ranked 15th, Forsling ranked 18th, Ekblad at 21, Kulikov at 25, Mikkola at 30, Montour at 36.
It's nice that OEL is going to be playing on the third pairing in the series, provided that Ekblad is healthy enough to play.
Unbelievable. All six of Florida's top six defensemen are top pairing defensemen by Corsi against per 60.
Gonna hop into the devil's advocate mode very quickly to just say,
what a surprise.
Ekblad's injury, we just don't know, so maybe he looks awful. All right, I'm exiting it because we just don't know. So frankly,
yeah, he started skating. He didn't play yesterday. Obviously, Verhaeghe was well enough to play. So,
and scored,
but he also
my
didn't.
Goodness,
didn't look his best.
Just for funsies, I sorted by Corsi 4 per 60 and Corsi 4 percentage.
Uh-huh.
Lowest ranked in Corsi 4 per 60 is Mikkola, ranked 49th.
Uh-huh.
And lowest ranked Corsi 4 percentage is also Mikkola at 25th. Oh, not a single top six Panther dips below 50. The dips below the top 50 defensemen in any of these
stats.
We're
scratching the wrong guy. We got to scratch Mikkola for Balenskis.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
So Paul Maurice has done a phenomenal job unlocking this defense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's just played better and is in a better system than Tampa this year. Like, they are vulnerable. I just don't see John Cooper being able to whip his guys into a position where they're giving up one goal a game in this series. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah. I mean, the obvious X factors in this series in terms of Tampa wins, if it's the power play goes off and or Vasilevsky goes off. I don't see a way they win this series if it is a battle of 5-on-5, or if the Panthers are at least able to keep it even in terms of power play goals.
Right, I agree.
With that said, the Panthers' power play has been struggling. It's something like 3 for its last 40. Now that Verhaeghe is back and they can run their top unit for the first time in a couple of weeks, I would hope it gets better. But, you know, this is where the Panthers need to be mindful. They take a ton of penalties. The first few games of the first round of the playoffs always have a lot of penalties called because the NHL is trying to, you know, establish that this isn't like the past playoffs where we let everything go. We're going to call it, you know, we're going to call it tight. So I would anticipate, you know, the first couple of games in this series being 5+ power plays for each team. And if the Lightning are going 3 for 5 on the power play and you're going 0 for 5 or 1 for 5, you got to make it up on 5-on-5. Now, is it doable? Absolutely. But if you want to talk about ways the Panthers can lose the series, even though we've been talking about it all night, it's losing the special teams battle.
Mm-hmm. John Cooper is going to be insufferable in this series because he's going to be doing everything he can to milk the refs to get as many power plays as he can. And look, he should. That's doing your job, frankly. Yeah. But it's going to be really annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you thought Sheldon Keefe was annoying yesterday, John Cooper is the absolute worst because both the Panthers and the Lightning play the same kind of chippy style where after the whistle, they're looking to start a scrum. There's always a little extra hit or slash. I mean, do you not remember 2 years ago how many cross checks the Lightning got away with? And despite all that, John Cooper is going to be working the refs both in the media and on the ice. Like, you're going to see him working the refs the entire series. And Paul Maurice does the same. He's just not as
it's not going to annoy us.
Political about it, I would say. It's also not going to annoy us. Yeah.
I agree. Let's just very quickly give our predictions and then move on.
Cats in five.
I said six.
There's one prediction and one prediction only, and it is always Heat in five, Cats in five.
Am I supposed to pick the Lightning in five, though?
No.
No, shut up.
You're off the podcast if you pick the Lightning.
but like, in the same way that I picked the Hurricanes in five last year?
Yeah, but that wasn't... That's an actual legitimate prediction because the Hurricanes are good. If you pick the Lightning on this podcast, you are being voted off the island.
Yeah, I think Panthers win in six. Like, the Lightning are just going to get a couple of fluky wins in there.
They get one.
I think
everybody gets one.
I think the Panthers split at home, take both in Tampa, finish it out. Game five, whenever that is. Speaking of
I
which,
I think the other way around. I think the Panthers open up with two wins at home and then they split in Tampa.
Well, we all know they're losing game one because that's just simply what happens. The Florida Panthers lose round one, game one.
No, it's going to be win-win, lose-win-win. Win.
All right. Either way.
Or win-win-win-win. Because if they're up 3-0 in the series going into game four, the three of us are going to go to Tampa for the game.
A little bit of a gentleman's sweep.
Is that going to be on a weekend? I cannot commit to going to
Tampa. I think
on
so,
because
we have no idea. Sunday, right? Game one Sunday. It'll be Sunday, Tuesday.
Thursday, Saturday.
And then either Thursday, Saturday, or Friday, Sunday.
We'll see. But I'm not opposed. If it's a weekend, though, I cannot go to Tampa on a Monday.
Yeah, speaking of which, of all the back and forth, because we've been following George Richards trying to predict the playoffs. He was originally saying the Panthers were going to be playing Sunday if they won the division. Then earlier today, he tweeted out, no, it's looking like Saturday at 5. We are officially Sunday at 12:30 p.m. puck drop.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah, you hadn't seen this yet?
You didn't see
Sunday
this?
At 12:30?
Yep.
That's so miserable.
It is, but I'm just looking at it this way. Like, if you're a college football fan or even an NFL fan, like, you've tailgated for noon kickoffs or 1 o'clock kickoffs a thousand times. Like,
oh yeah, that's
how is
point.
This any different?
That's not.
Are we still going to the infield after the game?
God damn right we are. And we're going to close that shit down.
I don't think we're going to close it down.
I already told Ashley I'm leaving the house at 10 a.m. and I'm going to the infield until it closes after the game.
Damn.
I mean, at some point we're going to have to record our post-game recap episode.
Yeah. Well, we'll do it drunkenly from the infield. That's fine.
I don't think we are logistically prepared to do another live podcast.
No. Live podcast. I meant like from our cars or something.
Oh.
Like sitting in our cars.
We'll just do a meetup at the infield after the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll definitely be there. I'm sure George Richards will be there. That is the place to be post-game if you do not know.
I think that there's going to be further games on Sunday that they haven't announced yet in the Western Conference.
Well, yeah, the Western Conference games have to be announced. Yeah, the East has been set. We're still waiting on the West because, remember, there's still matchups. I mean, we still have the potential for a Vegas-Vancouver series, which would be so amazing.
I'm actually very glad that it's not Saturday, Monday, because I would be fully out of pocket on Monday night.
Really? Yeah,
there you
it's
go.
Passover.
Oh, Passover. Yeah, I was like, I was
what
thinking.
What if it's Tuesday? Is that better?
I mean, yes, because the way my family does second night, it's a little bit more casual.
Gotcha.
So I still might not be able to watch the whole game on Tuesday, but I'll probably be able to tune in for the end of it and record afterwards. But like, if game two was Monday night, you guys would have to do it without me.
Yeah, I was honestly thinking of Pathfinder. I'm like, really? Pathfinder's going to get in the way of the playoffs?
No, Passover.
I know.
Though Monday would have been a scheduled Pathfinder game if not for the fact that we're all going to be busy with our families for Seder.
All right, guys. You want to jump into the Puri segment?
Sure. The Heat fucking suck.
The Heat suck. I don't want to talk about that. Let's talk about last night, 9 to 9:30, like you were saying.
Yeah. If you weren't watching...
I was driving.
No, you weren't. You were home.
I got home at like 9:20 yesterday, dude.
Yeah, but you were around for the best parts of it.
You were
which
around
was,
for the best part, absolutely.
I was only paying attention to the Bruins and the Panthers.
But I mean, in a 3-minute live time span, we had like three teams eliminated, two teams clinched their playoff spot. The Bruins opened the door for the Panthers to win the division. It was phenomenal. I mean, you have Detroit scoring a game-tying goal with 3.3 seconds left for the second night in a row, scoring with the net empty to send a game into overtime against Montreal. And then literally a minute and a half later in real time, you have Philadelphia Flyers pulling their goalie in a 1-1 game in regulation, even though they'd already been eliminated. And which allows Washington to score an empty net goal, which puts them into the playoffs and eliminates Detroit and, you know, Detroit and Pittsburgh. I mean, you just cannot beat the drama we got last night in a 20-minute span. It was fantastic hockey. It was fantastic mid-off hockey because, you know, we have two legitimately bad teams in the playoffs, and what a way for one team to get in with an empty net regulation goal.
Yeah, it was cinema. I mean, the two Red Wings Montreal games were both just unbelievable. I mean, the building in Detroit on Monday night when they tied the game, and the final 2 minutes where they were just working the puck around the offensive zone. And I was watching Detroit's broadcast, and they have an awesome broadcast. There, I can't remember the names of the two guys, but they were just like yelling everything, like every movement of the puck they were living and dying with. It was incredible stuff. And what was really amazing is just like the circumstances of them just being seconds from being eliminated because they needed a point in that game. Otherwise, they were done. They get the ultimate ecstasy of their season being saved with 3.3 seconds to go. That's, you know, then completely erased by the ultimate agony of knowing that you got eliminated because a team pulled their goalie tied in regulation when they had no chance of making the playoffs.
A team you had just eliminated with that goal with 3 seconds left. All of it culminating in the saddest shootout winner of all time by Patrick Kane. Like,
it was really sad.
You got to go watch the replay of it if you haven't seen it. Like, Patrick Kane scores. He doesn't even lift a hand. It's just like you would have thought this
Let's
was
get out of here. Yeah.
Like, this was practice.
I don't think
where
I've
it's just,
seen it.
Like, he just, you know, puts it in the net and just kind of was like, this fucking sucks.
Yeah.
And skates to the bench. And, like, literally no one on Detroit is cheering when 3 minutes ago, like, you would have thought they had won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. It's only their fault, though. They lost those games to the Caps. And frankly, like, they tie the game with 2 minutes left. Maybe the Flyers don't pull their goalie.
Yeah. I mean, they're also just not a good team.
No.
Like, they were in the race by circumstance of, you know, the same thing last year. Just yeah, you see, like, how sad he is. Like, there's no
celebration. I mean, it was a really nice move in the shootout.
It was.
But, like,
but
the way that he just, like, skates back and he
did it because he wanted to get out of there.
I may be projecting a little bit, but it looked to me like the replay that I'm watching, it looked to me like he took a breath afterwards. And it just looked like a very exasperated kind of thing. Well, like, I might be projecting.
No, but I think you're right, though. It's like, you know, they pushed so hard over the last 48 hours to give them the chance. And, you know, they did what they were supposed to do, and it's not enough, and it's already over.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I'm disappointed because the Islanders just, like, aren't fun. I know all these teams suck. I don't even want to say the Islanders are notably like bad.
Okay.
They're just not fun though.
Here's my thing. Here's my thing. The Islanders and the Capitals are the only teams this year that are making the playoffs below 41 wins. They both have losing records.
Yeah.
Detroit was 41 and 41. They were 41, 32, and 9.
OT wins are kind of fake too, though. Shootout wins are super fake.
I mean, it was a mid-off for the last two spots in the playoffs.
The Islanders were 39 and 43.
Yeah.
Like,
it was a straight-up mid-off.
You don't deserve to be here.
None of them do. The most deserving team of all of them was Pittsburgh.
Yes.
But this
and
was.
They were still not deserving.
Yeah.
We agree.
But this was a mid-off, and it ended in hilarious fashion. And we'll, you know, we'll see if either team can make noise in the playoffs.
Oh,
I doubt
my.
It.
Goodness.
Teams getting knocked out in a pillow fight. That's just crazy.
Do you guys want to know? This is going to be fun. So, Eastern Conference by regulation wins. I'm going to list the top. I'm going to list the top 8. Number 1 with 44, Carolina. Number 2 with 43, the Rangers. Number 3 with 42, the Panthers. Number 4 with 37, Tampa. Number 5 with 36, Boston. Number 6 with 33, Toronto. Number 7 with 33, Buffalo. Number 8 with 33, New Jersey. And then you get to number 9, Washington, with 32. Pittsburgh also with 32. Philly with 30. And then you get to the Islanders at 29.
Look, yeah, I mean, this is
if
what
you
the
do
league
it
incentivizes.
NHL-wide, it's even funnier.
This is what the league incentivizes. Like, you get to overtime, you get at least a point.
Justice for Buffalo and New Jersey.
Those teams suck too, though.
Yeah, but they had more regulation wins than two playoff teams.
I mean, it's kind of sad when I think you can genuinely say the most entertaining part of the New York Islanders is the head coach.
Matt Barzal, personally, but
I have no idea what kind of season he had, so I don't know how
it was
disappointing
pretty good.
It was.
Matt Barzal's been nowhere near the player we all thought he would be. I mean, part of it is he's been stuck with some of the most antiquated coaching his entire career.
Yeah.
But, like, we all thought he was going to be a 40-goal player, and he's just not.
He's fun to watch regardless.
He is fun to watch. I'm just saying.
80 points this year, though.
I'm so surprised.
it's not exactly like
he's never had a 30-goal season.
Yeah.
He's an assist guy.
True. He's only had two seasons at 50 assists or more.
Yeah,
one of them was his
60.
Rookie year.
This year, though, he had 57.
His
good
best
year.
Year, far and away, was his rookie year. 22 goals, 63 assists for 85 points in 82 games.
That was a team that played absolutely no defense at all. It was amazing.
Counting stats, that's the best season of his career.
I went to like 20 Islander home games that year. That team was so amazing to watch because they just did not give a damn about defense. And they also scored a lot themselves. So awesome entertainment. Yeah. I'm glad you brought up the Sabres because I do want to mention also that Don Granato was let go. He actually had an extension, a 2-year extension that had yet to kick in. So this is notable because the owners of the Sabres, like the Pegulas, have been really, really cheap. They did not retain money on anybody at the trade deadline. Okposo came at full freight. And they fired a coach with 2 years left on his deal. So they wanted that guy gone. And frankly, he deserved it. Because we had heard all year from people in Buffalo that they just had absolutely nothing going on the power play. No ideas, no movement. Like, Bo Byram, went into Buffalo and was playing on the power play like something was supposed to happen, and everybody was just kind of standing there. So much deserved firing in my opinion, but sad because he did get them back into some relevance from the just sad sack that they were earlier. Alex.
But that's kind of the point though, is Buffalo continually does this to themselves. They fire a coach, bring in a new one, and they, you know, they have a dead cap bounce in terms of points. They think, oh my God, we finally figured it out, even though everything is telling them that their team is fraudulent. Give the guy an extension and then want him gone the next year. Like this cycle is just keeping repeating themselves. Like at some point, and I think they're finally going to do it. They got, you know, they're going to bring in an established head coach. I think it's Berube is the guy who is rumored to be, you know, the front runner for the job. But like, don't give the guy an extension like after 1 year and you get a little bit of a dead cap balance. Like, make the guy earn it. Like, Bill Zito has been arguably the best GM in the NHL since he got here, and he didn't get his extension until a few days ago.
And he
Like,
didn't give Brunette an extension for winning the President's Trophy.
right. Why is Buffalo so quick to jump into bed to anyone that gets them like a little bit of hope? Like, could you imagine if the Panthers had done that with fucking Bugner?
I mean, remember that next year they really weren't that much better with
But that's my
Joel
point.
Quenneville.
They were better with Joel in the first
Quenneville.
year.
Quenneville
Not
is also,
really.
Quenneville is
Not
what I was
really.
thinking for the Buffalo vacancy. If he's reinstated into the league, Buffalo's
He's
going to be all over
no,
that.
he's too old.
Hear me out. The league reinstates Joel Quenneville. Buffalo hires Joel Quenneville. Patrick Kane reunites with Joel Quenneville in his hometown.
What is this, like a hive mind of scum and villainy?
It's not the
I will
worst.
start referring to Buffalo as Mos Eisley if this happens.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the
You'll
worst
never find a more
theory.
wretched hive of scum and villainy.
That was actually a really good accent there.
It was all right.
It's a good theory. Buffalo,
It's a shitty theory, and the fact that it's possible is sad.
I've only listened to some of Quenneville's interview and it was not great. Like, he's a guy who clearly just still doesn't get it, in my opinion.
Look, man, like we could have a whole long segment about this, but I'll try to condense my point down to like I'm much less willing to give guys the benefit of the doubt and the rehabilitation if they've already, gained as much as they've gained from the game and through ill means. Don't forget that part. As Quenneville, he's made his money. He'll likely be, forgiven and put into the Hall of Fame.
I doubt it.
I personally would not vote for him, but
I think this
I.
is probably one of those things where he will not be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame in his lifetime.
Yeah, I was literally about to say that it's gonna like this whole thing. It's not gonna cost him his induction, but it's going to cost him being able to enjoy it happening.
Yeah.
Frank, I feel
What?
the same way about Pete Rose. I think the
Yeah.
moment Pete Rose dies, he gets into Cooperstown,
Yeah. Pete
but the MLB won't
Rose.
give him the satisfaction.
Also, just a terrible person. Not even talking about the betting thing. He's awful. But yeah, that's like
I didn't know that.
it's a conversation for another day.
But yeah,
But
I think Joel Quenneville is a posthumous Hall of Fame inductee.
so anything for Puri here other than we don't want to talk about the Heat. That was just sad.
It's fucking playoff time, y'all.
Let's go. Let's run.
Yeah, if you're
Western
not
Conference.
Cats in 5, it is Cats in 5 from here on out. Folks, we're going to be doing our post-game recap episodes after every game. We'll try to do some spaces when we can. Perhaps a live show again this postseason. We'll have to see about that. But yeah, stay tuned, folks. It's playoff time, and that means it is content time. So make sure you're following, make sure you're subscribed. Rate us 5 stars wherever you get your podcast. Let's keep it serious today. And folks, it's Cats in 5 from here on out. Good night, everybody. Go Panthers.